Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
But it's taking a train to Atlanta, so you don't have to fly. You can drive, get together, and go and visit each other. That's what Allah tells us to do in the Quran. It is, what time is it? I'm looking at the...
We're at
time. I am sitting in my car.
Been out of my house for 3 weeks. Anyway, you just joined Study Out of Islam. Please announce yourself and tell us where you're from.
So, Sister Fisher, we're at 10 o'clock. So we're going to get
10
started.
O'clock.
Yes.
It's time to move on. Let us open with Imam Omar.
Yes, and Imam Omar, just remember to wait for recording in progress.
Yes.
This meeting is being recorded.
Rabbana atina fi dunya. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ آمين. We're Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The praise belongs to the Lord God, Lord of all the worlds. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the sole judge on the day of judgment. We worship you only and we turn to you begging your assistance. Guide us on the straight way, the way of those whom you have bestowed blessing, not those who incur your wrath, not those who go astray. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, dear family and friends. I ask for your forgiveness of my, I'm a bit disorganized. I have been living out of my home for 3 weeks due to flooding. And so I'm sitting in my car right now looking like I've just come out of the gym. But my heart is here. And there's no way that I would miss being with you under any conditions as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me life and breath. And so with that, I want to move on and just say that in the next 3 weeks, we are focusing on the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. I attended their graduation. And I was just blown away by the intelligence, the focus, the dedication, the camaraderie between the graduates. And I wanted to, as always, share with you the very best of our community. And this is just one of the many organizations in our community that's doing excellent work that I hope and pray that we will take advantage of, whether it's for ourselves or our young people or someone that you know has the potential or want to learn more about Islam according to our shared experiences. So with that said, I just want to let you know that the bios on Kimberly and Antoine, who are our speakers today, is in the newsletter. Please take time to read it because Kimberly is a scientist and a teacher, and Antoine is a organizer and an entrepreneur. Neither of them have the are on the path of becoming imams. They're both studying in their own principles of the four birds, but found it important enough to join the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. So let's hear their presentation. We will open for Q&A at the end, and then we'll have a few announcements of new programming that we're adding to Study al-Islam. Marsha, we're ready.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم A new creation from the perspective of Imam Warsoon Muhammad presented by Brother Antoine Banks
Assalamu alaikum, peace and blessings, everyone.
And myself, Kimberly Spade. Allah says in the Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 19, Have you not seen that Allah created the heavens and the earth in truth? If he wills, he can do away with you and produce a new creation. What is this new creation? Imam Warsoon Muhammad logic considers the concept of the new creation in three dimensions. Dimension one is the development of a new creation and a new social creation of free thinkers from our African-American experience. Dimension two is the development of a new people of free thinkers, which he included himself amongst. And dimension three, the mental, moral, and spiritual resurrection of our Islamic community experience. Dimension number one, the impact of the African-American experience. Pan-African activist, journalist, and entrepreneur Marcus Garvey wrote, A people without knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. Trees that are not firmly rooted in rich, fertile soil do not grow, do not bear fruit. They cannot withstand strong wind or bear heavy loads. It is important to understand the historical experience of the African American as it molded an entirely new race of people that had not existed on the planet before. This creation is one that is unlike any other people on Earth. In March of 2008, Imam Warsoon Muhammad taught that the African-American is a new creation. He proposed that some of the African-American population is a new creation, specifically a new social creation of free thinkers. Being formed from an experience of horror, where excellent human nature created by Allah was pressured and allowed to express itself, a new creation developed. This is the most powerful of the three dimensions of the Imam Warsoon Muhammad logic on the new creation. The African slave trade served as a phenomenon which gave the environment for the creation of a community that was stripped down to a shell. We experienced physical, mental, sexual, and emotional abuse at the hands of our so-called masters. This experience of chattel enslavement forced previously elevated people to express extreme metamorphosis because of the pressure on our human nature. We learned to adapt through problem-solving and creativity, innovative creativity, alternative forms of communication, building social organizations, and sustained spiritual strength and religious reflection. The slaves taken from their homelands exhibited wholesome fitness as they were able to survive long enough to reproduce and teach their offspring ways of survival. seeing this new experience problematic for their nature, these people found ways to change their situation through organized revolt and escape, problem solving. Their fight or flight survival instincts led to action to seek better conditions. The Quran, Surah 84, Ayat 19 says, "You shall surely travel from stage to stage." What we will see next is the evolution of this new creation. This search for our identity started rebellion. We began to flee from the South to the North for social freedom. Upon escape, the new situations required adaptation once again, and African Americans learned to establish living and engagement on several levels. Strength was found in the commonality of spirituality. Those that remembered customs, their original religion of Islam, and understanding of the true creator shared and taught and maintained a level of spirituality which supported a moral code that allowed the people to sustain, work together, and push forward. This was not without great resistance. The Confederate States sought to maintain systems of subjugation similar to those practiced in slavery. A racial caste system referred to as Jim Crow operated primarily, but not exclusively, in southern and bordering states between 1877 and the mid-1960s. Jim Crow was more than a series of rigid anti-black laws. It was a way of life. Under Jim Crow, African Americans were regulated to the status of second-class citizens, taunted with the ongoing possibility of death and abuse. They had to find ways to survive under these conditions.
Do you want to hear Study on the Phone?
Our leaders began to search for and present practices and teachings to reconnect their original self through African roots. Marcus Garvey was a Jamaican-born black nationalist. He was the leader of the Pan-Africanism movement, a movement to unify and connect all people of African descent globally. He founded the Negro World newspaper, the Black Star Alliance Shipping Company, and the Fraternal Organization of Black Nationalists, the Universal Negro Improvement Association. He also advocated for a separate but equal for African descendants. He was also known for the Back to Africa movement. Those that chose to remain here in America began to come together under desired concepts such as truth, peace, freedom, and justice, as taught in the Moorish Temple. Noble Drew Ali referred to himself as the second prophet of Islam. With texts such as the Circle 7 Quran, here, ideas from several religious and cultural traditions were combined, creating a new religious identity for his followers. Professing to be the olive-skinned Asiatic descendants of Moroccans, their presentation was evolving both spiritually and in physical presentation. Being known for their fezes, turbans, modest dress, and new spiritual ideology, they created conditions primed for the pathway back to Islam. W.D. Farr was one of the most important figures in American Islamic history because he formulated the structures of political and racial discourse that enabled the religion to move into its stage, next stage in the 1950s and 60s with dramatic vitality under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X. He used the framework of religion, the power of language, reverse psychology, and new mythology to capture African-American imagination, redefine ethnic identity, introduce a new cultural paradigm, and neutralize the psychology of white supremacy, traditional or legendary story. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad took over the leadership of the Nation of Islam and changed the title of Master Farr from prophet to God in person. He became the new messenger of Allah and evolved the nation. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam introduced basic concepts and language of Islam, but also a hybrid ideology used in biblical language and Christian thinking. They used the framework of religion to create individual and social transformation, implement Islamic moral standards, begin social reform, and promote economic self-sufficiency. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam philosophy of racial pride and independent thinking developed their culture of the Black Muslim civilization, which included moral excellence, accomplishment, and respect for Black leadership and collective achievement. This impacted the African-American community as a whole. Building, educating, and motivating people, the Nation of Islam turned the entire population of people around the world around in word and deed. The African-American began to move with self-respect and identity. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad led the Nation of Islam through a comprehensive economic plan, which included complete self-sufficiency as a community. The vision was to evolve the community from poverty to financial freedom and literacy through having our own banks, businesses, jobs, and food sourcing. The African-American began to thrive in its own communities, whether Muslim or not.
While building itself up, the African-American community fought to be considered equal and to desegregate the country. The selected method of protest was in nonviolent form. The decision to use the mind and speech instead of lower-level behaviors to oppose ideologies and practices was productive. Imam Wahdi Muhammad brought us closer to al-Islam proper. Free-thinking and fitra-based leadership supported by the Quran and the Uswa of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The previous model in the Nation of Islam championed blueprints for the collective Ummah, such as farms, banks, schools, and masajids. An example of this model would be Sedalia, North Carolina, and New Medina, Mississippi. Of course, we know that the New Medina model still exists today and has continued to flourish. At the Ramadan session 2004, Imam Wahdi Muhammad was explaining to us that our tradition was not a complete separation or breakdown from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Instead, it is a progressionary step that connected us from the past to the future. This was all part of the vision of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to continue our evolution after his death. Ironically, this was the same hope of his son and successor, Imam Wahdi Muhammad, to continue to move forward from stage to stage. This new creation is important to consider. The African American is a new race of people, but even more so, a people who were survivors, the best of the best, the fittest. Basically, the experience of enslavement forced a previously elevated people to express development concepts due to pressure on our human nature, slaves adapting, problem solving, creativity and innovation, communication, collective learning, social organization, and spirituality and religion. Slaves exhibited fitness as they were able to survive long enough to reproduce and teach offspring ways of survival. They problem solved to change their situation through organized revolt and escape. Upon escape, strength was found in the commonality of spirituality. Those forced into Christianity saw conflict between the harsh reality of the word, the harsh reality and the word of Christ. Leaders began to search for and present practices and teachings to align people back to their roots. Formation of thought around doing for self, Booker T. Washington, and the Talented 10 for Leadership, W.E.B. Du Bois, and even organizing to go back to Africa, Marcus Garvey, put the development of schools for our people through collective learning opportunities. Master Farah Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad raised to excellence in development and practice the identity of the African American. People were banding together, raising each other up to excellence, and collectively working towards the upliftment of the African American. Social organizations, movements, and platforms of justice grew strong. Imam Wahdi Muhammad reiterated that the experience of slavery began the real history of our people in America, And this is the development of a new creation.
Dimension two. A new people connected to creation is free thinkers. The second dimension of Iman Warfdin Muhammad logic on the new creation is the development of a new people. At the Ramadan session 2004, Iman Warfdin Muhammad said, God is forming a new people upon the original nature or upon our fifth fitra. He is raising us upon our fitra, and we are receiving the communication of the Quran and the life of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, his way. What is our original nature? The fitra is our original natural pattern which Allah created us. It is the best design in human nature, rooted in truth. Fitra-based thinking is aligning the thinking and consciously developing the thinking to align to the original pattern that Allah has already created within us. This logic must develop into a system of knowledge so that it can be expressed in our lives and culture. This new logic model will create a new social paradigm. Fitra-based thinking is a logic model, translating faith into good works. Imam Warfdin Muhammad explains it in the Ramadan session of 2006 that man who has embarked upon fitra-based thinking uses his intelligence as it has been created for him and respected the best of that life and the excellence in his own life to develop world because of his respect for that design in his nature, the best design in his nature. Al-Islam is designed based upon the original pattern. Humanity is based upon a fitra-based. This is the pattern of Allah's design. All of the developments in humanity have occurred because of humanity tapping into their original nature. They had to find, see, and be guided by the original nature and creation and within ourselves. Their fitra-based thinking expressed itself in developments in creation, society, discoveries, and culture and governments. When we come to our original nature, only then can we be the best out of this creation and advance further.
Our human nature. Quran Surah 32, Ayah 9 says, then he proportioned him and breathed into him from his spirit, and he made for you the hearing and the vision and the affidavit, the heart, the mind, the soul. Little thanks do ye give. Imam Warfdin Muhammad explains that Allah is speaking on the special nature of the human being. Allah is speaking about all mankind, male and female, and how mankind has the spirit from Allah himself. He explains that Allah gave it to all living things, but gave the human being additional help so that he would be able to grow beyond boundaries limiting the non-human entities. Allah gave humanity free minds, a free intellect, free thought, and a free will. With the new creation identified in Dimension 1, builds upon our original nature, designed and created by Allah, we receive the communication of the Quran on our hearts and use the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad as a template for our lives. Then we are becoming a new people. This is from Imam Warfdin Muhammad, the Ramadan session of 2004. This new people is a growing, developing, living organism that is taking shape according to a divine plan designed by Almighty Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Kokin Jadid, the term that signifies a state of change, new creation, which everything undergoes in each individual instant. Nothing remains the same for two successive moments. It is through the observation of new creation within his own heart that the knower gains knowledge of Allah, realizing that each moment contains a fresh and new knowledge of Allah. This is the never-ending unfolding of knowledge from the essence itself. We are new people, changing constantly and growing and evolving. Dimension three, the mental, moral, spiritual resurrection of our Islamic community. The third dimension of the logic of Imam Warfdin Muhammad on the creation is the mental, moral, spiritual resurrection of our Islamic community. a purpose-driven community. It is the teachings of Imam Warfi Muhammad that once mankind taps into his original nature and begins to elevate his spirit, reading the signs and creations, the messages, then he taps into his divine purpose. Thus, this new creation and new people will have a purpose and mission, a divine purpose by Almighty Allah, to be the model people for society. We become a purpose-driven community. We saw this exemplified in the ancient communities that tapped into Allah's word and used his signs, resulting in the flourishing and establishment of model communities. The Mali Empire established holistic community life that became a model for communities worldwide. In education, during Mansa Musa's reign, Sudanese scholars were setting up their own centers of learning and Quranic study, particularly in Timbuktu. Mali became a sophisticated center of learning in the Islamic world. In economics, their trade of gold, salt, and copper enriched the empire. Books became a big commodity and part of the culture of learning in Timbuktu. In culture, Mansa Musa established a learning culture. Mansa Musa encouraged his subjects immersion in scholarship, the arts, and the Quran. Government. The Sundiata developed a sophisticated military and political system which allowed the empire to rule over a large area. He commissioned the first constitution of the Mali Empire and created the first general assembly that served as a deliberate body for the empire. In religion at Timbuktu, Mansa Musa built the largest house of worship in the whole of West Africa and a spacious royal palace. A number of other masjids or mosques were built during Musa's reign. We see this historic example of tapping into our original nature and reading the signs of Allah's creation. Imam Warfi Muhammad Lodi suggests that this is the next step for the new people.
The goal is to establish a model community that emphasizes the best of this world. As students of Imam Warfi Muhammad, we understand his vision for the future to be that of a model community that will answer Allah's call in the Quran. His vision is directly rooted in the tenets of Surah 3, Ayah 104, which states, "Let there be from you a community inviting to the goodness, prosperity, commanding universally recognized human excellence, preventing harmful influences that void the human nature. Those, they will be the successful." This ayah speaks to the values, principles, moral standards that we must build our foundation upon actively, calling and inviting all of humanity to universally recognize goodness and steering away, developing a moral compass from that which corrupts the human spirit and does not promote the excellence of the best of man's original nature. Imam Warfi Muhammad has given us clear tafsir on how we should proceed in regards to community leadership. He based his tafsir on the logical conclusion from the Quran and the Hadith and Uswa of the Prophet. We are still in our infancy stages and need support and redirection just as a child. Imam Warfi Muhammad has said in researching our faith that our leaders have to be like Prophet Muhammad. He said that our leaders must love God, love mankind, be human, and have the best of sensitivity. They must be Islamic servant leaders. In the Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 73, it says, "And we made them leaders, guided by our commands, and we inspired to them the doing of good, establishment of prayer, and giving of zakat, and they were worshipers of us." Our leaders should serve with competence, knowledge, skills, and abilities, and know-how. Facilitate the process of Amrahum Shurabainahum to guide the development of Islamic community life. Provide the vision and direction for the development of community and society. Establish the governance systems and cultural environments for healthy social development and create the infrastructure for the development of economic, education, and culture. These are the institutions of community life. Imam Warazi Muhammad spells this out in his 9-point plan and named the culminating climax community New Africa.
Imam Gary D. Muhammad's 9-point plan includes 1, establishing a mosque or masjid, 2, establishing a full-time school system, Muhammad Schools of America, 3, calling the general society to embrace al-Islam, 4, establishing businesses, 5, establishing new African residential districts, 6, establishing a new African community which consists of townships, business districts, independent school systems, collective purchasing or economics, Amarosha Urbana Home and Political Action Committees, independent press, and lastly, masjid or houses of worship. 7, establishing social welfare institutions. 8, establishing a free health clinic. And lastly, 9, establishing youth programs. These 9 points make up the visionary concept of New Africa, a model community of excellence. This is the final stage in the progressive dimensions of the Imam W.D. Muhammad logic of the new creation. Inshallah, we continue to move stage to stage. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Wow. As I said, first of all, thank you, Kimberly and Antoine. I'm trying to maneuver on this telephone, and technology is not my best friend. But I want to first say that that is why, you know, I started off by encouraging everyone that was on the line to try to start this visiting the different cities, because when you visit, you will see that these 9 steps that Kimberly and Antoine just shared with us is happening all over the United States of America. I mean, you have these developments that are already established. There are conversations about moving into cities so that there can be concentrated areas of Muslims. You have the Clara that just opened. You have New Medina that has a medical facility, a school, housing, townhomes. You have Atlanta that's building a new Muslim town. You have Newark that's opening and building from the ground up a masjid. And Newark is already a concentration of Muslims. Anybody know Newark? No, it's a concentration of Muslims. I mean, you just have this happening all over the United States by a new people. And that new people is, it's us. And it would do your heart and soul good, especially those who are pioneers, to go and see these things happening. And I shouldn't say just the pioneers, but the young people, everyone. So I'm going to open it up to Q&A right now. And I want to be fair to Antoine and Kimberly. Please ask questions concerning as students of the Islamic Leadership and Training and Development Program. Ask them about what it was like being a student. What was the school like? Let's not ask them questions and try and test their knowledge of the Quran. This is not what we're here for today. And I want to just make that. We are here. We are highlighting the focus is on the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. So please ask them questions that would help you to make a decision as to whether you want to join the school, whether you want to send your grandchildren, your sons and daughters, or some youth in the masjid that you know is deserving of this. So let's open it up to Q&A.
Yeah, so I see one hand. Michael Hameen, you can take yourself off of mute and ask your question.
Thank you. I'd like to preface it by asking Sister Kimberly, are you related to Imam Rashad Sharif?
As-salamu alaykum.
Aleykum as-salam.
Yes, sir. Imam Rashad Sharif is my father.
Okay, alhamdulillah. My question has to do with, and pardon me, I'm kind of excited, and I didn't mean to give you greetings first, but this is exciting to me, and I'm always concerned about the utility of the Islamic education so that we're not just trying to go to meet Muslims. And I came in late, so I hear your connection, and I'm just loving the way that it's structured. And in terms of your, both of you, Antoine and Kimberly, in terms of the utilization of what you're learning in terms of your day-to-day or your work life and your community life, how has that helped you?
Thank you.
Well,
I
would like to say that both of us have fields that deal with interacting with the community and children. And one of the things that this information that we've gained in the process that we've gone through with this program and this learning is understanding the original nature of mankind, truly understanding that quality of excellence. And because I am in the field of education and I work with several schools across our district, but I have the opportunity to interact with both adults and children, as well as in my organization where we service all people who are trying to get an education themselves, K-12 and adults, then I'm able to look past people's outer shells. Sometimes, if you read my bio, my background was in alternative education. Those are some of the hardest children to reach. Many of their backgrounds are not what would be desired by society. However, understanding their original nature and being able to who they are and be able to let them know who they are and what their capacity is and how they can rise to any level that they choose and give them options that are outside of that which they're used to being identified with. I think that that has been the foundation of my success in education, period, is I can reach students and people that many people cannot because my approach to them is not what they're presenting right now. My approach to them is the capacity within them and being able to share universal principles of Al-Islam with them without saying that it's Al-Islam. You will find that people gravitate towards that. That's the foundation of what we've been talking about, what Imam Waridi Muhammad says when he says connect with like-minded people, not necessarily just Muslims, to be able to bring the best of our religion, our community, the best within themselves and tap into what's in creation. As a scientist, of course, tapping into creation is what I do. And so that's what I'm teaching and making connections with students and adults is that these are not individual concepts that we're talking about. They all flow together. They all are interconnected and allow them to see how that manifests in their everyday lives. So I'll leave that there because I know that Brother Antoine has lots to share as well.
Well, I would just camel back off some of what Sister Kimberly is saying. We've been blessed to write several curriculums within the school district here in Peoria. And as she said, as long as we let them know that they're universal principles, they give us kudos. But as soon as they hear that it's the way of life of Al-Islam, they kind of shy away from it instead of using it as an example. So we are tasked with the task of leading by example, which is beautiful for us. It's a great opportunity for Dawah and for us to show what Islam stands for, you know. And as Muslims, we've been able to interconnect the community and let people see who they really are within themselves. You know, it's about humanity we're kind of trying to take out the color barriers and the race barriers and bring forth the humanity. We're supposed to be the excellent example of society, and that's what we're trying to bring forward with some of our events that we put together, with our interfaith things that we have done. Within the school district, I would say it's so amazing that the youth are trying to find something that's the answer. And where I'm at, it's kind of a metropolitan area, but it's a lack thereof a Muslim. So I often find myself pushing them in the front as an example, which is a large task. But when they get to see what Islam really is, we are finding a lot of young men and young ladies being compelled to say, what is this like? What is this that is giving you this will to stand in front? And I would say, without the class and without the deen of Islam, I'm truly nothing. You know, I know that I've been in the darkness, and since I found this light, it gave me the no fear to be able to do the work of Allah. And the class has gave me the direction and the structure to live that within my mission and purpose. The community leadership has made us strategic planners. It has made us be able to see the need within the community and be able to fill those voids. And just knowing some of the deen and the excellence that Imam Warf B. Muhammad spoke of and what he stands for, it gives us the opportunity to be able to continue to lead that torch and live hands on. You know, it's important for us to be within the masjids. I think it's a story I often reflect on, and the sooner when it was a Muslim man that was always in the masjid, and they asked Prophet Muhammad, how could they be more like him? And Prophet Muhammad would ask, who's bringing this food? Who's taking care of his affairs? Who's doing these things for this individual that's in the masjid? And I think he came to the solution that the brother in the masjid should be more like those out in the community. So I'm blessed to be able to have the opportunity of going through that class and being part of the pilot program. And it has really gave me the confidence and the know-how to go along with the character that I need to be a young Muslim leader.
You know, I'm always in awe of Imam Muhammad. May he be in the highest place in paradise, his vision and his wisdom. You know, when you think about it, if Imam Muhammad had not decentralized us, a program like Study Al-Islam would never exist. Seeing you, knowing you, connecting with your intellect, Kimberly, Antoine, having a Islamic leadership training and development program, it would have never existed without the permission of one person. He decentralized us so that the best of our community could rise and shine and become the excellence that Kimberly referred to. And so when we think about ourselves, we're always told that, you know, Allah intervened on our behalf. It is these kinds of examples that let us know that surely that is the truth. This is the proof. To hear the two of you explain a concept, a quote from the Imam, and apply it to your everyday life. So, I'm so grateful to have been at your graduation and to be able to bring this to the community and share it with our national and international community and show them what we have available. There is no excuses for us today because we are getting it from every direction, the excellence of this community. Do we have any other questions?
We do. And so the next question, it may have been answered. So if you feel like you just answered, just let me know. It says, now that you both are finished, what are your intentions?
Well, I'll start that off. My intentions, I have an organization called Product of the Project POP. And when I started my organization, I wanted to get inner city youth opportunity to know where they come from doesn't determine where they have to go. And I wrote several curriculums within the District 4 character discipline of soft skills and also POP nutrition, 365 nutrition, wellness, and physical fitness. And within that is teaching us how we're supposed to live. And Islam is a way of life. So I just want to continue to be an example. And in order to live that way, we have to have the right, correct learning of the Quran. We have to follow the Uswa, the prophet, to be able to do those things. Because as Muslims, we're constantly under the spotlight. So as a young leader, you know, they look for us to fumble or foul up. So I have the intentions of using some of the strategic planning, some of the things we learned with the community leadership, how to get interfaith religions working together. And we've been successful at some of those things. It's great to see it on paper in the ILTDP training, but it's also wonderful to see it play out. And some of us have been able to play that out, i.e. some of the things we did with our study of our own community. That was great to know if we are surviving, thriving, or how we're moving forward. Mm-hmm. And we need to do to move the torch forward, because we have a superior foundation from Imam Waqi Muhammad, and it's, we are charged with carrying that torch forward. So that's a big task to fill, you know. So hopefully, inshallah, we continue to use the things that we learn to be able to bring that to reality. So moving forward here, my plans are to have institutions of learning, youth development academies with curriculums based at the universal principles of Islam, where anyone from the natural base, fitra base, doesn't have to be a Muslim or not, that can come and get these tools and utilize these tools to become better people within humanity. And that's how we move the needle forward, just by making ourselves available as Muslims and using the tools that we're learning and putting those things out into the forefront. Dawah is very important. We have to change the narrative of what people view a Muslim is and give them the true insight of what we do and what we stand for.
And so one of the great things about being in the program itself is you get the opportunity to connect with people from all over the country who are also participants. And you get to find people who may have similar interests as yourself. And one of the things that I was able to do was connect with Brother Antoine with his program, very much aligned with my organization and some of the work that I do here in Memphis, Tennessee. And so one of the things that I intend to do moving forward is I am a board member of his organization, so I do want to help with what, some of the work that he's doing. I also have the desire to bring some of this information that we learned in the class, as well as some universal principles, to our children in the form of some books. And so I'm working on some of that at this time to present. I have nieces and nephews, and I am a mother myself. And so with that being said, I understand the process of, you know, sometimes our children go through stages of trying to understand who they are and what is their purpose. And so we learned that many of us don't achieve that until later in their life, in our lives,
mm-hmm.
in life even, or some never achieve that. And so what would happen if we bring these concepts to our children in a way where they can discover their purpose here on earth with the creation and the messages in the creation and tapping into those at their lower stages of their life? Can you imagine how powerful and impactful they could be in the world as they grow up? And so I would like to bring that to our children early so that they can tap into that excellence within and develop that immediately.
This is extremely powerful. And again, I want to say this is happening in our community on a national and international level. This is just two of the students that you're meeting today. You will meet two more next week that are just as bright and full of energy and knowledge that they are taking out into the world. We have a few more minutes. Do we have one more question, Masha?
Yes. And so I have some insight into this next question, but I will give it to Kimberly and Antoine to answer. How difficult was the curriculum, especially with your work schedule?
Want to go first, sister?
Sure. Well, I my work is 24/7, and I'm always known to be someone who was working on multiple projects at the same time. So I'm working on something at the time. And so this program is definitely a intense program. So I have gone to school for a long time in my life. So I have several degrees under my belt. And I tell them, they say it's master's level. I kind of disagree with that. I think it might even be doctoral level. It was very intensive. We had class 3 nights a week. That's just being physically on Zoom in class. So we're not talking about assignments. We're not talking about studying, study groups. So it is time consuming. But I will say this: when you tap into the information and you begin the class, there is a thirst inside of you that you may not have even known was there. It makes you want to carve out time, whether it's at 10 o'clock at night or right after Pfizer or, you know, in between at your lunch break. You want this. And so the desire overweighs any time constraints that you may have. So it is an intense program, but it's also a very rich, fulfilling program that you just keep getting more and more. And when it was over, it was like, serious, you're dropping me now? I can't get any more? So are you sure it's not a part two to this? So it's excellent. You want to do it.
Antoine, I don't want you to answer that question. There's another question that I want you to answer connected to that I witnessed. I want you to talk about the camaraderie between all of you. I witnessed the support that you had for each other at your graduation, the hand-holding, the words of encouragement. I want you to speak on that because I am sure much of that helped all of you to get through this very rigorous academic doctorate program.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing because you're taking leaders from all over the country, different ages and in different fields of study, but with the one common goal of becoming better Muslims and growing and coming into this with putting maximum effort. So in the beginning, none of us really knew each other, like we're from different sections of the country. But as we got to get together, the rigor of the program is a common denominator. I think none of us realized what we were signing up for. I think a few nights a week, maybe we get together, read, learn some things, and then we disperse back into our selected jobs. Lots of us have, like Sister Kimberly said, we're 24 round-the-clock servant leaders. So you're throwing this on top of that, it adds a lot of high stress level. And what that did was it bonded us together. Like I said, we didn't know each other as much. We had several group projects. Sometimes it's hard to carve out the time to get together. It was lots of smiles, but it was also some tears there. You know, some times when we had to, you know, find the time when we didn't have. Some of them had a rough afternoon within the community at work and had to pull each other through, you know, to get through, but no one was left behind. And that formed a camaraderie. And I used to always say during some of our tough times, like, hey, this is not the end, as we became, you know, a cohesive unit. It didn't start that way. You know, we worked and we bonded together. And like I said, it's a beautiful thing of what the way of life of Islam can do for all of us. We help each other develop. A lot of us have different strengths, different weaknesses. And some of the weaknesses I had, some of the sisters and brothers that I was able to bond together are my brothers and sisters forever. So now those weaknesses and strengths are neutralized. You know, I could forever learn from these brothers and sisters, and they're all bright in their own way. And it was a pleasure to serve with them. But as I said before, see, it's not to be the end. This is the beginning of our journey together. And there's other students that's coming out the IOTDP, and we are the ones that have to contribute to this legacy that's being built forward. So by the time it was time for graduation, we had competition amongst each other. We had love amongst each other. And we moved each other forward, and we got to really know each other. And I think that that is a testament of some of the professors and some of the actual setup of the program, the group projects, and some of the things that we had to figure out each other. It showed us how to work together as leaders, and that's going to be essential in us moving forward stage to stage. So I think that that was great. And like Sister Kimby said, the graduation was bittersweet and tough, and then when it's over, everyone is back busy, so we have to make sure that we maintain that camaraderie because it's essential to the growth of our community.
It was, I'm going to tell you, I was so moved by hearing each of you give your talk at the graduation, but taking time to give thanks to each other for the strength and the encouragement and the support that you all gave each other. It let me know that it wasn't an individual program. It was a collective effort that brought you all through this graduation in one piece, and being able to meet your responsibilities of your everyday life. You're not young people, and, well, you're not old either, but but you have responsibilities. You have a job. You know, you have families. And I could see the commitment that you all had to one another as a family. And I say again and again, there is never a time that you achieve anything in life alone, and you don't fail alone. It is, you always have people around you to either help you achieve or help you fail. And what I witnessed at your graduation was, I think, eight of you. I think there were eight graduates. And was it eight or six? How many graduates was in your class?
Eight.
Oh, I asked a tough question right now. Oh, 10. There were 10. Ishmael is on the line. There were 10 graduates.
I'm like Ishmael.
See, got our back still. Thank you, Ishmael.
Hold up. Let's not run.
That was a tough question because we started off with like 24.
Yeah. Oh,
and
wow.
If we didn't make it, 24 didn't make it. We were a team of, we were pledging or we were in some type of
okay.
Strong organization. Everybody didn't make it to the end.
Well, let me just tell you, everybody is not going to make it, you know, but they may make it in something else. But the reality is that 10 of you did make it. And I saw and witnessed at your graduation, I could not help but to bring it back on Study Out Islam and share it with those who are here today to witness the first two students, graduates who did make it on the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. And inshallah, we're going to meet two more next week. And so with that, I have just a few announcements. And then again, I want to say thank you so much. The world is better because of you. And we are forever grateful. So just a few announcements. I do want to say that Study Al Islam is stepping its programming up. Starting in June, we are going to have an intense study on the Hadith and the Quran. Imam Wazir has committed to every first Sunday at 1 o'clock to connect us provide study on the Hadith of Muhammad, connecting it to the four birds. And then Imam Yahya Abdullah will follow the next following Sundays. He will do an intense study on the Quran. So starting in June, we're going to do what Imam Muhammad said. He says, if you want to live this religion and learn this religion and live it correctly, we need to study the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and learn more of the Quran. That is our way of learning more about the Quran and the application of what is in the Quran that we can use for our experience. So it's going to be every Sunday, starting the first Sunday in June. Imam Wazir will give us 1 hour on the Hadith, the life of Prophet Muhammad. Following Sundays will be Imam Yahya Abdullah every Sunday, inshallah, at 1 o'clock starting in June. That information will be in the Study Al-Islam newsletter. If you're not receiving the newsletter every Saturday, I strongly suggest that you go to studyalislam.com, become a subscriber, and you will receive the newsletter. I want to ask you if you're having any programs in your community and you have a flyer, please send it to me so I can promote it so that we can attend your event. And you can send it to studyalislam@gmail.com, or you can send it to fitra@msn.com. And last but not least, following this meeting at 11 o'clock, for all of those who are traveling to Ghana or who may want to travel, we please stay on the line because we're going to have a meeting, our first meet and greet, and we do have some slots open. And so I would encourage you to join. There's going to be some really interesting experiences in Ghana that we're going to all share. So with that, I'm going to ask Imam Omar to make a short dua for our brother, Imam Abu Qadir, who has transitioned, and then close us out with a dua.
Brother Abu Qadir. Inna lillahi wa inna alayhi raji'un. From where souls come from to where souls go back to. Babana atina fidunya hasanatan wa fi akhirati hasanatan wa kida barna. O Allah, give us the good of this world and the good of the next world and save us from the fire of sins. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining Study Al-Islam. It's always so nice to be here with you under any circumstances. And for those who want to join us in our meeting, we're going to stay on the line. Muhammad, I didn't see your hand, but I will make sure that your question, hold your question until next week. We are going to have two more students, inshallah. And we will make sure that you get the opportunity to ask your questions of the students. Stay on the line so that we can continue with our Ghana meeting. Marsha, so assalamu alaikum to everyone. All of those who don't wish to stay on the line as we continue to have our meeting with our travelers. Marsha, after the meeting, yes, Marsha, after the meeting, I can just disconnect. I know you may have some things to do. Possible?
Yeah, so right now I have you as co-host. I do have to go to a meeting, but because you're co-host, once I come off, it's going to make you the host, and then you can just continue on.
Okay, thank you. I'm not going to record this, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Thank you, Masha.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
I'm going to I'm going to take it off. Right now I have them where they can't unmute themselves. I'm going to fix that so that they can talk.
Okay, please.
Okay, so everybody should be able to unmute.
I will need both features so that I can share my screen.
No problem.
Okay.
I'll take care of it right now.
Oh, I'm so glad you said something. Samima, because
I just switched to my phone just so that I'm with you all, just in case you need. But I won't be like super present.
Okay, then perfectly fine. So, Samima,
ma'am,
Masha, I don't see Samima.
So she's on. I can spotlight her if you want me to.
I would. I do. Please.
Okay, I'm gonna spotlight the two of you.
Okay, that would be perfect. Assalamu alaikum, Samima.
Wa alaikum assalam, Fitra. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. So to everyone that's on the line, I want to get started immediately. First of all, I want to just say thank you for your confidence and your trust in traveling with Study al-Islam and cousin's trip to Ghana. I have traveled with Samima. All the times that I have visited Ghana, I've never been disappointed. Shocked and surprised, yes. But
oh,
never
that's Africa.
but never disappointed. And so when I decided to do my last trip to Ghana, or my first trip as a group, or my last trip that I probably will be taking, I couldn't think of anyone more qualified, more sensitive, and then Samima, who has a company called Cousins Trip. So I'm going to turn it over to Samima and let her get started.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you all for being here today. We're going to go through some preliminary things. We will have other Zooms, but this one is going to be more admin for the people who have registered for the tour. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen so that we can get started. One second. All right. So we are set to visit Ghana, West Africa, leaving October 23rd, returning November 1st. And the price is $4,500 per person. And that is based on double occupancy, meaning two people per room. Again, we have something that says non-refundable deposit. That is the case. The deposits were due by January 23rd. However, we are opening up a few more spaces. And if you want to travel with us, please take down the information. I'll give it to you before we leave. It's www.cousintrips.com. And you can go there, make your deposit, and start the process. So first, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Samima Aziz. I'm founder and owner of Cousin Trips. We are a boutique travel company that began as Adventure in Africa Tours, and that was way back in 1989. we always specialized in small group tours to Africa. The first tour I planned was to Ghana, and we were Adventure in Africa Tours again then. And in 2008, Cousin Trips was established to offer summer travel experiences for young students. Our first group of travelers were actually my nieces and nephews, and that's how we came up with the name Cousin Trips. So we later transitioned and focused on adult group travel, and I believe that travel really is a healing exercise. We travel to reward ourselves, to celebrate, to relax, to discover new cultures, art, music, food, religion, and in the end, discover so much more, sometimes about ourselves. So I am excited to partner with you and to be your, myself along with Fitra, to be your leaders to Ghana. Again, I believe that travel is a spiritual journey. It provides an opportunity for us to learn more about ourselves, and it's also a time to make new connections. And I want to thank you all who have registered and are in the process of preparing to travel. Thank you all for trusting Cousin Trips with your travel plans. And I want to thank you, Sister Fitra, for approaching and asking me and trusting that we can do this together, and we can. So at this point, I would like to introduce the travelers, and I would just like for you to say your name, what city you're traveling from, and let us know whether this is your first visit or not to Africa. So I will come off of screen sharing, and I see you all here. So let me just ask you to jump in, whoever wants to jump in first, to go ahead and
introduce yourself. Why don't you call the first person on the list so that we don't lose, so you don't have to put the PowerPoint up yet, but we'll know who it is.
Okay, so let's start with Carol Sharifa Muhammad.
Carol, are you?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited about going. This will be my first time going to Africa. And I am grateful to Allah because I have attempted several times in the past to go to Ghana, and there was always something that prevented me. So I believe, inshallah, I'll be going this time. And I've been in Chicago most of my adult life, but then I got married about 4 years ago, so I'm in Mount Vernon, New York now.
Wow. Well, welcome, sister.
Thank you. Cheryl Ali. Is Cheryl here?
Take yourself off of mute, Cheryl, if you're here.
I'm here. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, I'm in Indiana.
Okay. And is this your first trip to Africa?
This will be my first trip to Africa. I have never planned to go. It's been in my mind. The opportunity presented itself. So I definitely have to go. I'm doing as much as I can because of my age. I have to get things done in the next few years. That's the way I'm approaching life. Get it done.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we will meet, and I will send you emails frequently to help us in the preparation.
Yes,
so, we're going to pace ourselves and get it done.
Yes.
Thank you. And there's Diana Applewhite. I know you have another name. I think it's Naima. I just copied what was on the paperwork. Yes. Diana? Is she here? Okay. Leonard Muhammad?
Here.
All right. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
So tell us where you, it's you and your wife. I don't have your wife's name, but you and your wife are traveling. Can you tell us your wife's name, what city you all are traveling from, and whether this is your first visit to Africa?
Yes. My wife's name is Michelle.
Okay.
Michelle Bradley, and we're traveling from Washington, D.C.
Okay. And have you
okay? And yes, this is never been to Africa. I'm like the sister just stated. Hey, this is one of my bucket list trips. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, we look forward to meeting your wife on the next call.
Okay.
So then we have Linda Masi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, Linda.
I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So inshallah, I'm looking forward to going. I went once before.
Okay.
I would like to experience with my Muslim sisters and brothers.
All right. You've gone to Ghana?
Yes, once before.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
How long ago,
Sister Linda?
Oh, 2018.
Oh, it's a new place. You're going to be surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is. All right. Omar Shakir.
Imam.
Okay.
Yes, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yes, inshallah, Zarina and I, we are excited about this opportunity. We're hailing from the great country of Texas. I'm sorry, the great state of Texas. I did that on purpose. You know, Texas, they kind of full of themselves. But anyway, we're in San Antonio, Texas, and I don't believe Zarina's been to Africa. She could speak for herself. Personally, I've been to Egypt. That's the only place, Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only area. So we're looking forward to it. Thank you, Sister Fitra, so much for this opportunity.
Is Zarina there?
Yes, ma'am.
Is she there?
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Yes, ma'am. It'll be my first time going and can't wait to be with you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I hear a lot of background noise. Can you put yourselves on mute if you're not speaking, please? I just want to say I'm particularly feeling very blessed to have Imam Omar with us. He is a well-respected, highly respected Imam in our community, and it's nice to always have an Imam with us on our group that can provide us the insights into the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad in our experiences. And I've had many, many, many years with Imam and his wife, Zarina, and I'm just this group is blessed to have them to come with us. I'm happy that everyone is traveling, and I'm hoping that there will be more traveling with us before we close this out. But again, it's always nice to have a highly respected, educated, knowledgeable imam to give us some insights that I know that he will share with us, inshallah.
Thank you, Sister Fitra. Thank you, Sister Fitra. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on, we have Rajia Rahman. Rajia, is she here? All right. And there's Kamara.
I feel like I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Okay.
My name is Rajia Kangani Rahman. Sister Fitra, my mom is Jean Rahman. Inshallah, looking forward to traveling with you. This will be my second trip to Africa. When I was traveling to make Hajj, we did have our tour in Morocco. So this is my first trip to Ghana.
Okay.
Yeah. Wonderful. It's very nice to have you. Very nice to have you.
All right. And it's Kamara Alameen. Or Kamira. Not sure how to pronounce the name. Mira, she just signed on recently, I'm not sure if she got the notice about today.
Yes.
Can
you hear me? This is the Naima. I've been trying to get off. Y'all can hear my voice. I'm Sister Naima / Applewhite.
Okay. All right.
I'm looking forward to doing this. This will be my first time going to Africa.
Okay.
And I like a bucket list for me.
Yes, ma'am. Sounds
like where is she from? Where is she from, Tamima?
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. I'm from Iman Shakir.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Sister Kamara is not on the line, or if you are, take yourself off mute because we can't hear you. We'll move right along. Sheree Muhammad.
This is my first time going to Ghana, and I'm looking so forward to it. I've always wanted to go, and I had a situation a couple of years ago. I thought I was going to be able to go to Senegal. I wasn't able to make that. And then when Sister Fitra made the announcement by going with a group, I prayed to Allah, and Allah made a way for me to go. So I'm looking forward to it.
We're glad to have you, Sheree.
All right, and next we have
I'll be leaving from Dallas, Texas.
Okay. Brother Saeed Askia. Saeed Askia, is he here? Take yourself off mute. Okay. Brother Saeed was going to get an award today. He has paid up his trip in full.
Wow! Low effort.
Yes. So, all right. And Zakia Bilal. Zakia Bilal, are you here? Okay. All right. So that, and then it ended with Zarina Shakir. We've already heard from Sister Zarina. So thank you all for introducing yourselves, and inshallah, we'll meet the other the others who aren't here and the others who are yet to sign up. So I'm going to go back to my slide presentation. 1 second. All right. So again, those are just that's a list of the names that of everyone that's traveling. So our trip includes, 1 second. The trip includes round trip airfare, all hotels in Ghana, your ground transportation, meaning your movement from one place to the other, a professional tour guide, ground handling, they will handle our bags, assist us with that, breakfast daily, admission to plan tours and events, a welcome breakfast, and a farewell lunch or dinner. The trip does not include, and I'd like for people to understand this clearly, it does not include the domestic airfare, and that is from your home city to the departure city. And we'll be departing out of Dulles International Airport outside of Washington, D.C. So you are responsible for that domestic leg to and from. Travel insurance, we strongly suggest travel insurance. Some people elect not to do it, but I'd like to say if that you know you have either extenuating circumstances that you're leaving at home, or if you have medical challenges that have been a challenge for you, then I suggest that you consider getting travel insurance in case you have to make changes during the trip. It does not include passport processing fees. By now, we should all have our passports, and the passports need to be valid until November of 2025. It does not include the Ghana visa fee. We'll go over that a little bit later in the presentation. It does not include excess baggage fees. We'll go over that as well. And it does not include gratuities. Generally, on the trip, what we do at the end of the tour, based on your experiences and the services that you've received from your guides and drivers, we do a collection, and then I give it to them to split between them. All right, and so this is the part on the passports. Everyone should have a valid passport. It must be valid through November 2nd. Actually, that should be November 2nd, 2025. We will apply for our Ghana visa 60 days before departure. When we get to the visa, there is an option. You can opt to just get a single entry, which is $60, or you can do a multi-entry, which is $100, and they're good for 2 years. The agency processing fee is $80, and that is optional. I'm going to suggest that you strongly consider doing it. It's easy and quick, versus going to the Ghana consulate website. I've had many travelers it's very frustrating. So those are the options there for the visa processing fees. One second. All right, we also encourage trip insurance. With the insurance, there are three options. It looks like only two of them are showing up here. But essentially, we will have an opportunity. I will send you this individually so you can go over it. The first option is a basic option, which covers trip cancellation, interruption to the cost of the ticket, emergency medical or dental up to $10,000, lost baggage up to $500, baggage delay up to $200, travel delay $300, and they cover 2 days. And emergency medical transportation, Medivac, up to $50,000. And if you could put your questions in the chat, we will. I'll go over them, or just hold on to the questions until we finish. And then your second option is the classic, which covers most of what I just went over, with an increase in the lost baggage, the baggage delays, and the travel delays up to 4 days are covered, and your emergency medical transportation up to $500,000. So that, again, is a choice that you make. Many people want to know about immunizations going to Ghana. You are required to have a yellow fever. If you've already had yellow fever, it lasts for 10 years. If you've not had it, you can get it if you are over 65, and you have medical concerns, or sometimes just over 65 and you choose you don't want to get it, you can get a waiver. 65 and over can get a waiver of the yellow fever. You will still have to go to the travel clinic or your primary care physician, get the letter of waiver, and then they will stamp a waiver in a yellow booklet. You must have the yellow booklet either with the immunization or without the immunization. The yellow booklet has to be presented at customs when we get to Ghana. Malaria pills, it's one of those CDC requirements or recommendations, and I say yes and optional, because some people just choose not to do it, and that is your choice. However, if you know that you are prone to getting bitten by mosquitoes, and that happens here, and when you travel other places, then I would suggest that you go ahead and get yourself protection against malaria. The locals and myself use other methods. There is the citronella. There is the fleet, the mosquito sprays that work for, you know, when you're going camping and in the woods. The suggestion is also that you increase your vitamin B complex. You start taking that a month before travel, and you take the odorless garlic pills before travel. And all those are prophylactics and protection against malaria. So you have a personal decision to make there. And at this point, I am going to open up for any questions that you may have. And I'm going to stop sharing. One second. I'm going to go take a look at the chat. I see someone says, what is the issue with the malaria shot? Okay, so malaria, there is no shot for malaria. There are pills. There's mefloquine is one of them, and I think there's a newer one. I'm not familiar with the new one, but the traditional pill that was given for malaria is mefloquine. And you can look that up and see what it has in it and whether that's something for you. There's no issue. It's just a personal decision. It's not a requirement. So when you're coming in the country, they're not going to say, do you have malaria pills? It's a personal decision. Will a carry-on and backpack be enough? Yes. No, sorry. A carry-on is suggested in backpack. Well, if you plan to wash out your clothes daily, it's hot there, you'd want to change your clothes. We are allowed to bring two bags, 50 pounds each, two suitcases, and most people at least have one suitcase, and I suggest the second suitcase because more than likely you will make purchases while you're there, and you'll need something to bring those things back in. What did you mention after B complex? Garlic, odorless garlic. Trip insurance and travel insurance are the same thing. It's a different expression. Let's see. Yes, Sister Zarina, you will get this information in an email. You should get your immunizations probably as soon if you know you're going, you're signed up, you can go ahead and get the immunization. I know the yellow fever, it doesn't really have too much side effects, just a little soreness at the injection spot. Sometimes people may feel a little achy afterwards. So I would suggest if you're going to do the immunizations to go ahead and get them as soon as possible. The medium of exchange, gold or silver now. The medium of exchange is cash. We will have to change money to Ghana CDs. And right now, the CD rate fluctuates. Right now, it's about 12 Ghana CDs to one U.S. dollar. How many are the steps are done by the agency? Are we talking about the visa processing?
Yes.
Okay. The agency will do everything. I have a form that they've given me. So you fill out the form. You will provide them with one passport size photo, and the information they ask you for, and you send in your passport. and your payment, and that's it. You get the yellow booklet from either the health department, a travel clinic, or your primary care physician. Not all primary care physicians give the yellow fever shot, and if they don't give it, they will direct you as to where you can get it done.
Thank you.
My experience has always been that, Brother Leonard, you're in D.C., is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I went to GW. I went to their clinic, and they gave it to me. But Brother Leonard, Samima, is there an age preference for the yellow fever or not?
No, over 65, you can opt out.
Yeah, and I'm over 65, so I'm not taking it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't take it. You know, it's all individual. But you know, I'm not taking it. But I do plan to make sure that, you know, I have insect repellent. I'm taking other precautions. I'm not being irresponsible when it comes to my health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Okay. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
all right. No problem. So, yes, on, again, this call is just the initial call. We will, the technology that we will use is WhatsApp. To communicate, as we get further, I'm going to ask you all to download WhatsApp, and that is the way we will communicate with each other during the trip. Now, many of the Verizon, AT&T, they all offer packages where you can use your phone to call back to the States with no charge. It's just a regular plan. I think AT&T charges $10 a day, but you cannot make calls in Ghana. That's going to be an international call that you'd have to pay for. So since we're in Ghana and we need to communicate in Ghana, that's why we use WhatsApp, and it's free. And you can call the States in WhatsApp, so you can tell you have to download WhatsApp, and that way they can, you know, freely communicate with you as well. The question about the passports will be returned. We don't start this process until 60 days out, because if you get in a one-time visa, it only lasts for 60 days. So you don't want to process it now. We won't even start that process until 60 days before travel. Once I send you the paperwork and tell you, and actually we'll probably do it more like 30 days out, so you'll have a 30-day window on your visa. They turn it around very fast. It's just you have to send it in. When I send out the email and say, okay, it's
Assalamu alaikum. We have ran out of broadcast time, and we are grateful to partner with the Study of Islam platform. For those of you that plan the trip to Ghana, if you would connect with Study of Islam via the Zoom, inshallah. And we're grateful that they are sharing the particulars of the trip to Ghana. And let me state that it is very rewarding to hear from Brother Antoine Banks and Sister Kimberly Spate. They shared with us the particulars of studying the language and logic of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, praise be to Allah, the Islamic leadership and training program. It is wonderful to hear from the present young leaders that are organizing themselves, for themselves, moving the community and the religion of Islam forward. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah, our future is in good hands. It's in good hands. So we're not affected by by those that are naysayers. We hear what is positive. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I am Kareem Hamid, your host this morning for the Study of Islam
broadcast, and I would like to invite you to tune back in to American Muslim 360 for the broadcast, Keeping It Real. Talk about it. It airs at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is hosted by Lou Princess Aziz. Keeping It Real. Let's talk about it. And following that broadcast, connected with that broadcast, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we want to share with you the contemplations of Imam Waliz Uddin Muhammad, utilizing the books edited by Brother Ghani, Brother Morocco, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. We are sharing from the second volume set of the Ramadan sessions conducted by Imam Waliz Uddin Muhammad. We are sharing his insights and his logic over the airways of American Muslim 360, and that begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The host is yours truly, myself, Kareem Hamid, and Michael Hamid. We look forward to your presence as we share the knowledge, the wisdom, and the logic of our beloved Imam Waliz Uddin Muhammad. I'm learning so much. Praise be to Allah. So anyway, we came to you with the greetings of peace. I leave you with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. Assalamu alaikum.